one of the things that I want us to see is that every knee is going to bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's a forever that we can bank on. And so one of the things that I got to do this week is sit down with one of the people in our church that just, she's been around hospice care and other things like that, has watched family members pass away, different things like that. And so she has seen firsthand the joy, the bittersweet joy that comes with knowing Jesus and leaving this life. So let's watch this quick video. You guys can be seated.
Well, I'm Phyllis, and I gave my life to the Lord at a very early age. I was raised in a Christian family, and had grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles that loved me and showed me the love of Jesus. And I think the main person probably that I can credit a lot to was my grandpa, and I loved him so much. And he always told me when I was a little girl, you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. So my life has been good. I have no regrets. I buried two husbands, so I feel very blessed. And through the times when there's nobody's there, Jesus is there. And if Jesus is all you've got, that's enough. One of the greatest songs that I always loved is, "What a day it'll be when my Jesus I shall see." And if days are, I never have bad days. I have bad moments like we all do. But when you think, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, it takes away the pain and it gives hope for the future. And I just hope and pray that during my lifetime that other people may see Jesus in me and know that I have the joy of the Lord. Through my lifetime, I've done a lot of things. I was a nurse, for one thing, and I also was a hospice volunteer, which I found very exciting and rewarding to me, because since I do know my new address when I die, a lot of the hospice people, the hospice patients did too, and it was comforting for them and for me to be able to share the hope that we have after death. Death is not a bad thing. It's going to happen to everybody, but when we do know our new address and know the hope and the joy of the Lord, it makes it a lot easier. It doesn't take away the pain or the hurt, but it gives us the joy, and it is very comforting, and it was comforting for my patients to know. So you're a Christian. I'm so glad you got me, because I can share my love of Jesus and help them transition into the next world, and that was very, very special to me. And I got to be with both of my husbands, my parents, my in-laws when they died. And my mom's was a beautiful death. She was ready to go. And the family members that weren't right there when she died, we called on the phone and they said, "Goodbye, mother," or "Goodbye, grandma." And when we'd done the last one, she just laid back and that was her last breath. Death is really a beautiful experience when you know you're going home to be with the Lord. Sometimes really get sad when I see people who do not believe in heaven, or they'll say, "Well, I hope I go to heaven." And that really makes me sad, because we can know without a shadow of a doubt what our new address is going to be. And the joy that people have and the fear that it takes away from them by knowing that heaven is real and that someday we're going to live with Jesus forever, and just the confidence and the lack of fear to live this life, that we can have a joy in every day. Even though there's a lot of things that we don't like or we don't want to happen, we know that this is just for a short time, because heaven is going to be forever, and we have that to look forward to. And what a day that will be, you know, what a glorious day. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, it does minimize a lot the heartaches and stress of today.
Is that a beautiful story? Just of God's truth and his love and his promises. Well, good morning to everybody. Good morning in person. Good morning online. Glad you're with us today. Before I dive in, our church is not just a church, it's a family, right? And so when somebody in our family is struggling, I want to just take a little moment and pray for them. So this morning, you may know them, you may not, but Rich and Sherry Dougherty, they are founding members of New Life. Elders, very much a nucleus of who New Life was at the beginning till now. They both have COVID, and Rich is okay. Sherry is not. And so I got off the phone with Rich this morning, and just the update is that Sherry is going to be put on a ventilator, and the doctor said that there's a 10% chance that she'll make it. And so it's a very serious thing for them, and so I told Rich that we are a family that prays, and we love them, And so I want to take some time right now during service as a church family, just lift them up in prayer. We do believe God can do the miracle, right? We believe God can come through in these tough times. And so we have faith for that. And just we need God's peace for Rich during this time. And so again, if you don't know who they are a very dear, dear core of who this church is. So let's just take a moment. I'll pray out loud, but I actually encourage you in your seats to be lifting them up in prayer also. So let's just pray for Rich and Sherry. God, we just come to you right now, and we lift up the dear, dear people of Rich and Sherry, and especially Sherry right now as she is in a very difficult situation with her health. God, I do just pray for your healing power. Lord, you conquer the grave, so you can conquer COVID. And so we just ask for you to do the impossible right now. And God, I pray that you'd be with Rich, would give him comfort and give him your grace during this time, Lord, as he goes through a very scary moment. And Lord, we do lift up everybody that is at risk with COVID and that it is hitting people hard. Lord, that we just lift them up to you. And God, we do pray that you would touch this land, heal our planet of this disease, Lord. We look to you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Good clap, that was a good time. So again, welcome to everybody here. This is going to be the last message I'm going to preach on Jesus Can. Next week, you guys get a special treat. Pastor Scott was coming back to preach. He is a founding pastor of New Life Church, and if you have not heard him speak, you are going to love him. He is like the perfect pastor, I always say. He is fantastic, and he is coming back next Sunday, and so he'll be killing your fear with his sermon while I'm killing Bambi in the woods. So we both win, and it'll be a great time. And so just encourage you to come to that, watch that online, and he's going to be talking about how God can by seeing you. And a lot of people don't feel seen right now during this time. So it's going to be awesome next week. So since I won't be here next week, this sermon is going to be a little bit different than what I've done before. But I want to really encourage you in the fact of Jesus Can, and as you are the light of Jesus Can. So everybody got a wristband? Okay, if you do not have a wristband, please stop by the Discover Center on your way out and grab one and put them on. I don't know if you've experienced it, but I've experienced being encouraged by looking down at this and reading Jesus Can. I think there's even a time where Kirsten and I were in a little argument, and, you know, Jesus Can came out during that argument. You know, Jesus Can is a powerful reminder to us, but it's also a powerful reminder what other people need to hear. So I got an email this past week by somebody that works in the medical field, and they were sharing with me that as they work in the medical field, they're wearing their Jesus Can wristband. And some of the patients have seen that wristband and how they are encouraged by seeing a doctor or a medical worker wearing such a wristband, and it gave them hope. I thought that was such a powerful story, how this bracelet, not only for the person, but actually can bring hope to others. And even for me, 2 weeks ago, I was picking up food. My wife is pregnant again, and so 4 kids, 3 to go, and I'll catch up with Scott. So, but with that, with Kirsten, her food changes every day, so I'm always on the run to somewhere different. And so I ended up at some pizza place, and I'm sitting there waiting for our to-go order, and I have my wristband out, and this waitress walks up, and she kind of is walking a little bit different. It's just not a normal walk, and she comes up, and she looks at my wristband and says, "Can I have that?" And I said, "No, you know, this is mine." You know, she's like, can I have that? And I'm like, "You know what, I'll go get you one." So I went out to the car and I grabbed one. I thought it was kind of peculiar. So I got it and gave it to her. And I got to sit down and talk with her. And she began to share with me that she has a muscle disease. And her muscles are slowly deteriorating. And she has to drive to Iowa City every single week to go to the hospital out there. But she can't drive. So she has to try to hitch a ride every week by coworkers and friends to try to get to Iowa City. And she wanted the wristband to remind her that Jesus can. And it's those type of interactions that just remind me how much people need hope right now, and that people need a sense that there's something beyond what we're seeing right now, as through the pain or through the struggle. And so today, that's what I really am going to encourage you with, is that you can bring that hope to others. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And since it's snowing outside, I thought we should do a Christmas passage of Scripture this morning. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we've looked at how Jesus is the same yesterday, last week was today, and today we're going to look at him forever. Jesus is saying forever. So Isaiah chapter 6, 9 verse 6, we're going to see a passage about this. It's going to be a little bit different than what you think. Isaiah 9, 6 tells us this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so this passage is often used at, you know, Christmas Eve, but this wasn't designed just for Christmas. This was designed to tell the world of who is coming to earth. Before Jesus ever got here, hundreds of years, this passage was written. And so they said, there's this child that's coming. Government is going to be on his shoulders, and he's going to bring four key things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I believe out of every single one of those four are core needs that you and I have. First one, Wonderful Counselor, wisdom. Second one, Mighty God, strength. Third one, Everlasting Father, protection. And the fourth one is Prince of Peace, I say peace. So those are needs that we have that this child is going to bring. But what's very unique about this is that the word government is used in this. The idea of government is used. And so verse 7 actually expands on this idea of his government. Verse 7 says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So this coming child will bring with him a government. And this government will never end. So the timing of today's message for you, I believe, is very appointed by God. With everything going on, with the election coming up, I do believe there's a message that we all need to hear today about God's eternal government. And you may be asking, well, this sounds kind of boring. How does God's eternal government actually apply to my life today? Well, we're going to look at that today. See, me, you and I unintentionally put a lot of hope in government. We do put a lot of hope in government. I was actually out to eat with somebody this week, and they aren't believers. They don't believe in God. And we were talking, and one of the themes that I heard from this person is that they were looking to government to solve a lot of issues. That they were looking to government to solve a lot of actually internal issues. And unintentionally, you and I do the same thing. We look to a form of government for protection, for care, to understand, and that we're doing this a lot more in this season. And here we see this passage that God brings this government that oversees all of our other government. And so with that idea in Joshua, something happens that kind of expands on this. So in Joshua in the Old Testament is going against this place called Jericho. And as he's going against this big place called Jericho, he's out there and suddenly an angel appears to him. Now watch what happens. Joshua 5 verse 13, let's put that on the screen. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" I love that because that sounds like a political ad. Like, are you on my side or are you on that side? Which side are you on here? And out of any time to actually pick a side, I feel like this is a very easy one. This is like a no-brainer, right? Okay, you got Jericho really bad. You got Joshua, God's chosen people. This is easy. This isn't a hard multiple choice. But look at how the angel responds. Verse 14, neither. What? Neither. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for a servant?" Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." I love this because the angel comes and says, listen, your battle right here is not what this is all about. God has a bigger purpose beyond just this battle. It's not about this side versus this side. It's about my kingdom over all of this. And see, we see from this passage that God has a kingdom bigger than America. God has a kingdom bigger than political parties. God has a plan above all the things that you and I are engulfed with every single day. For my second half of my 21-day fast, first one was sugar, the second one was news. Thank you, Jesus. I stopped watching any form of news, and for some reason, I'm a lot happier. I don't know why. But what I realized is we're living in such a contentious world where it's trying to pit against each other, and I believe God wants to remind us in this season that he's got a kingdom that's above all this. He's got a kingdom that's above all this. I heard this analogy that it does a brilliant job. So let's say there's two football teams. You know, the Vikings versus, I don't know, a really bad team, Packers, okay? So you have two football teams. And so they're facing each other. The object of these teams is collision, right? They're designed to go. One's going this way, one's going this way. They're designed to just go against each other. And that's what we often see in political world, in government, is these two are battling each other. But there's actually a third team on the field. It's the officials. There's officials that are on the field. And those officials, they're part of the game, but they're not really in the game. And they are accountable to a different group. They're accountable to the NFL. And they have to follow the NFL's rule book. And so they're there not to represent just one or the other teams, but they're there to represent the NFL. You and I, if you're a believer of Jesus, you are on the officials team. You are there to represent God in the midst of people arguing about political parties. You're not there to represent one side. You're there to say, I'm part of a different kingdom. This is my responsibility. Because for some reason, you and I, we live in this pattern in history where we try to almost create this perfect world, perfect society. It's not a bad thing to do. But human history has taught us something. Human history tells us every single government has an expiration date. Every single government. It's like a carton of milk in the refrigerator. It does go bad eventually. Every single one. Governments rise and fall. They have for thousands of years. Alexander the Great tried to set up a government. He expanded, conquered. In a few short years, that all fell apart. The Aztec kingdom conquered many of the land, and suddenly this man named Cortez came and conquered him. In Germany, there was a man named Hitler who said he would start a Third Reich that would last 1,000 years, and it ended in a couple days. The British Empire once covered 1/4 of our planet. Just imagine that. 1/4 of our planet was once underneath the control of the British Empire. Now they are just a few little islands. One of the most opposing governments of all time was a government by Rome. Rome was described as the greatest of all civilizations. They were the most advanced in military. Their economy was like nothing else. Even their form of government was unprecedented. They had the greatest form of sanitation, interesting fact, that was ever invented during that time. They knew how to sanitize. And in 100 AD, Rome stretched from Britain all the way to northwest Egypt. They covered everything. They were conquering every single person. In the midst of their height of power, when they were truly in control, there came this carpenter from this place called Galilee. And this carpenter had a few people that were following him. And suddenly this carpenter gets kind of annoying to the people, and so they go to the Roman officials, government, and they want to deal with this carpenter. And so they take this carpenter, and they question him, and they kind of beat him up a little bit, and they decide what to do with him. They decide to kill him. Now, the Roman army knew how to kill. That was what they were great at. So they decide to kill him in the most graphic way they could by crucifixion. They crucified this carpenter, and just to make sure that he was dead, they shoved a spear into his side just to confirm that he was dead. After they did this, they threw him in a tomb, a very nice tomb, but it had a huge stone that was very unique that rolled over it, and they put guards out front just to make sure that this carpenter couldn't do anything. Now, this is the Roman Empire, the top dogs, top military, and in 3 days, that carpenter walked out, and his name is Jesus. He walked out of that grave conquering what Rome tried to press upon him. even after he ascended, his followers continued to walk like he walked on this earth. And the Roman Empire began to hate this small group of annoyance. And so what they began to do is to hunt, imprison, and kill what they would call many Christians or Christians. And they begin to take them, and they used to put them in prison, or they would put them in the Roman Colosseum to be eaten by lions or by killed by gladiators. But Nero really hated them so much that he used to take Christians and light them on fire to light his courtyard at night. And with all of this Roman oppression, do you know what happened? It kept growing. The kingdom of God kept on growing. Got bigger and bigger and spread and spread and spread. And here we are in Pleasant Hill, Iowa, 2,000 years later, worshiping that same carpenter. His kingdom does not ever end. His kingdom goes on and on. Nations rise and fall, but his kingdom endures forever. This should be our greatest hope, our greatest security, is that no matter what happens, his kingdom endures. On November the 4th, you should wake up in complete peace no matter who got elected. Amen? No matter who got elected, you should be, because you are part of a different kingdom. You have peace because he set up a government that would never, ever end. Now, I believe that we are supposed to vote. I believe we're supposed to vote biblically the best we can. But at the end of the day, our hope does not rest in the hands of men. It never should. It never was supposed to. And that's why that baby came, so that we would never put all of our hope in one person or into a government or into a new organization. But we put our hope in Jesus and Jesus alone, because that kingdom will never end. Exodus 15:8 tells us, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." Psalm 10:16, "The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hands." Lamentation 5:19 tells us, "You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation." His kingdom does not end. We are called to be his lights when we're part of that kingdom. This world right now needs your hope. If you are part of his kingdom, if you're a follower of Jesus, there is hope in him. We should wake up with a smile because of his kingdom that will never perish. World governments right now are playing checkers. God is playing chess. He's playing a different game than the rest of what we can see. Isaiah 40 verse 8 tells us, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord endures forever." It never, ever ends. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are Humpty." You're Humpty. All the kings, who is that? Presidents, emperors, all the king's horses, all the king's men, senate, mayors, they can't put you back together again. That's the sermon right there. I'm done. We'll call it good. They can't fix you. Jesus is the only answer for you. He's the only hope that you have. And yet we feel like the king's horses and the king's men, they can fix my problems. They cannot. Jesus is the only one that can put you back together again. He's the only one that can keep you whole. He is the only one that cares about your soul. Government does not care about your soul. God cares. And knowing that his kingdom will never end, I have hope because I am secure in him. You and I, if you are a follower of Jesus today, that is your hope in this life, that his kingdom never ends. You can walk boldly and have joy with that. Even though life at this moment, because life is like this, it's like a sliver, and then it's forever. If right now is really difficult and hard, we need to be reminded that this kingdom will go on forever. It will never end. Whatever he started here will continue all the way through. America, one day, I know it's hard to believe, but will end. One day it will. China will end. Russia will end. Everything ends except for Jesus. Everything does. Everything has an expiration date on it. That is our hope. That is what we have. That is the joy. So when we say Jesus can, it's that belief that no matter what happens, I have this eternal hope with him. That nothing can steal that joy from me. You guys probably know that my wife and I drive really expensive cars. If you've seen our cars before, one looks like Jaws took a bite out of the back of it, and the other one is leaking oil everywhere. And so the van is in this new mode of just puking out all its guts everywhere. And so wherever I drive to Target or spend like 2 days at Menards, you know, wherever I go, you know, there's usually a pile of oil or power steering fluid on the ground when I leave. And so I've been noticing where I go, I leave something behind with me. And it made me think that you and I, we leave stuff behind wherever we go. Wherever we go, we leave something. So if you are with your family, if you are at your workplace, if you are wherever you are, you're leaving something behind. And if Jesus is our hope, and we know that his government never ends, and we grab onto that, I believe we can leave faith and not fear. I believe wherever we go, we can leave hope and not doubt. We can leave worship and not worry. We can walk around with victory, not being a victim, because we have this eternal hope that will never, ever fail. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. We're going to do something a little bit different as we close. I know, I'm sorry, Iowans, I'm going to change it up a little bit on you, but let's invite the worship team forward. But I believe that you guys need to be reminded, we all need to be reminded of this eternal fact as we go in to an election every 4 years, every 2 years. I talked with a couple after the first service, and they said, you know, Tim, after your message, I've realized so many of my friends and even myself, we're finding such hope in government. We're putting so much that they're going to fix everything. And today I want to remind us all that government can never fix Humpty Dumpty. Can never fix your heart, can never fix your soul, cannot fix things, that Jesus is the only answer because he is the same yesterday, what he did in the past, what he's doing today, and what he'll do forever. He is our only hope. And you and I need to grab onto that hope so wherever we are, we can give people hope. They can see Jesus can and give them hope, believing that God is not a dead religion, but he is a live person in our life. We need to be doing that, representing him, being the light in this world. And so my hope is that November 4th, we will have more joy than ever before. Not because of who was elected, but who's always been elected, Jesus Christ. That's why we wake up. That's why we're safe. That's why. Because remember his promises. This baby was going to bring you wisdom, strength, protection, and peace. Those are his promises. And when we do these 21 days of fasting and praying, we're running after him and getting in underneath his government and his kingdom.